desert island disc. Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the week's castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? There can be few men with a richer store of musical memories than our castaway this week. Composer, tenor, pianist, and accompanist to many great singers and instrumentalists all over the world, here is Percy Kahn. Well, welcome ashore, Mr. Kahn. Have you kept many souvenirs of your career in the form of gramophone records? Have you a big collection?
Oh, yes, I have many. As a matter of fact, I've made hundreds. Many in New York,
yes,
with Misha Elman and other artists, and also a great number here.
Well, how do you feel about the prospect of leaving that collection and going off alone to this desert island?
Well, I hate it. I hate loneliness. I like the cheerful company, and I'm afraid it's going to be very difficult.
Well, we'll hope it's just a short exile. You waved goodbye to your family, and you're off to this desert island with just 8 records tucked under your arm. What's the first one?
The first one I've chosen is the Rachmaninoff Concerto No. 2 in C minor, which is played by the composer, who I consider one of the greatest pianists in the world.
Yes.
And also Stokowski, the conductor. I studied with him at the Royal College of Music when he was an organist there, and I was an organ scholar.
Yes. You knew Rachmaninoff, too, didn't you?
Yes, he came to the Knickerbocker Hotel in New York when I was rehearsing with Misha Elman several times, accompanied by Pavlova, and sat and listened to our practicing.
Very distinguished audience.
It was, certainly.
Well, I'm afraid you can't take the whole of this concerto. Which part would you like?
Oh, I'd like to hear the Allegro Scherzando from the third movement.
That comes right at the end of
right
the
work. Right at the end, yes.
Closing minutes of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, played by the composer. What's your second choice, Mr. Kahn?
Well, I would very much like to hear Tetrazzini singing the bell song from Lakme.
You played for her very often, didn't you?
Very often. She was a great coloratura singer. And I feel I must tell you this story, which happened at the Albert Hall in 1920. When she sang this aria, she has to trill on the top B at the end and mount to the top E in alt.
Mm.
Well, she'd been away some time abroad, and when she returned, she was received with such wonderful enthusiasm, and she was so overcome by this reception that she trilled on this top B, and not a sound came out for the last top E.
Oh, dear.
So I walked off the platform, and practically off the platform, when she ran after me and brought me back, plonked me on the piano stool, and asked me for the chord. I gave her the chord, and she trilled on this top B magnificently. She had a most marvelous trill, as you will hear, and sang the top E with a most wonderful sound. And the audience went wild.
Yes. Well, let's hear the record.
Well,
voice of Luisa Tetrazzini. Mr. Cohen, how did your career start? What decided you to become a musician?
I think because my parents were both very musical and wanted all the boys and girl to learn music.
How many of you were there?
There were five of us all together.
And how many became musicians?
Three of us.
That's a very good average. How old were you when you started learning music?
I was seven.
Yes. What did you learn, the piano?
Yes, I learned the piano. And Reverend Charles Everett heard me sing and play and was so impressed that he took me to the Royal College of Music, and where I sang and played for Sir George Grove and Dr. Parrott.
Yes.
They were both very much impressed, and Sir George found me a teacher for the piano, and Dr. Parrott wanted me to sing in his choir at Windsor.
Did you?
No. My tutor, Charles Everett, I was singing in his choir, and I couldn't accept Sir Walter's offer.
You couldn't let him down?
I couldn't let him down, mm-hmm. No.
So?
I had this new teacher, and I made a great progress. And in the meantime, Mr. Arthur Pepin took over the teaching of me, the piano, and he taught me the organ.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I won a free open scholarship at the Royal College of Music for organ and studied with Sir Walter Parrott.
So you were at the Royal College for what, 4 years?
For 4 years. Yes. In the meantime, I was running up and down the country singing, you see, soprano.
Yes.
I had a wonderful voice, they say, and I sang the pantomime in Liverpool, Shakespeare Theatre, and also at the Palace Theatre in London, Shaftesbury Avenue, yes, for which I got £20 a week, both the pantomime and the Palace Theatre.
It was a lot of money in those days.
Yes, it was.
And when you'd finished your years at the Royal College, what happened to you then?
Sir Walter wanted me to go to Sydney Cathedral as organist, but I didn't want to bury myself there as an organist. I wanted to see the world,
mm-hmm,
and so I started accompanying.
Yes. Well, having got you started in the main part of your career as an accompanist, I think we might break off and have the third record. What's that going to be?
The third record is going to be Le Fafa Day by Misha Elman, played by Misha Elman and myself.
Yes, you were an accompanist to Misha Elman for a long time, weren't you?
Yes, for 7 years.
Well, let's hear you both together playing Le Fafa Day. Misha Elman playing Le Fafa Day with you accompanying him. Mr. Cohen, let's hear about some more of the famous artists that you've accompanied in the past.
Well, I have accompanied Caruso very often, and he was the greatest of all tenors, greatest of all singers.
Was and, he a pleasant man to work with?
Pleasant, very. I enjoyed working with him immensely. At the Knickerbocker Hotel, I went and sang some of my songs to him, some of my compositions, and he was very, very pleased with an Ave Maria which I had set to music.
Mm.
And he said, "Oh, I'll make a record of that if you can write an obbligato for Misha, and we'll record it next week." So we did. We met in a special room rigged up for him in 32nd Street, and we began the recording. Caruso wasn't pleased with his singing. Misha wasn't pleased with his playing the second time, you see. Mm. We had to repeat it. The third time, Well, none of us were very pleased. So we had to repeat it a fourth time. And it was so wonderful and so beautifully done that I jumped from my piano stool, clapped my hands together wildly, and said, "That was perfectly splendid." And so I spoilt the record.
Oh, dear.
The recording had still gone on, naturally, in those days, yes. You see. Caruso took it all in good part and laughed heartily and went over to a screen there, knocked his head against the screen, and regardless of fatigue, of course, we had to do it a fifth time. And this is the one you're going to hear now, the Ave Maria record, with Mishaoma playing the violin obbligato and myself at the piano.
That's a record that's been taken to this desert island before. What are we going to hear now, Mr. Kahn?
Well, I would like you to put on Perasa's aria from Sorochintsev's Fair by Mussorgsky, sung by Oda Slobodskaya.
Yes, why do you choose this?
Well, I choose it because I was the first to play for her when she came from America, when she sang under the name of Oda Careno. She sang first in England at the Hippodrome of Weiden and then at the Palladium.
Mm.
And I was her accompanist there. And Lionel Powell, the impresario, heard her sing and was so delighted that he gave her an international celebrity concert when she assumed her own name, Oda Slobodskaya. I toured with her, naturally, many times. And I think this record is a very wonderful one. I think I should enjoy hearing her sing it because it's so cheerful at the end that I almost got up and danced when she sang it.
That's a very gay song. And now we've come to disc number six.
Disc number six, I would like you to put on Gnomenweigen by Liszt, played by Simon Barer, who I consider possessed the greatest technique, piano technique, in the world. He assisted on one of Richard Tauber's tours with me, and he played this piece. It was so marvelous. And when on tour with Tetrazzini on her farewell tour in 1933, Piatigorsky, the famous cellist who was assisting at this concert, told me that Horowitz had told him that Baader could do more with four fingers than he himself could do with his ten.
Well, that's a very fine recommendation. Let's listen now to Simon Baader playing Norman Reagan. Certainly a dazzling performance. Now, there's a very important question that always crops up in this program, Mr. Kahn. How are you going to look after yourself on this island?
Well, first of all, I should be very lonely, and I think I could manage that all right. I once gave Sandow, the strong man, some singing lessons, and he in return taught me some of his famous exercises, and I think I should be able to climb a tree and get some coconuts.
Good.
I'm still very agile at 77.
Are you a fisherman? You live by the sea. Do you ever go fishing?
No. The only time I fished was on Picton Sound with the mayor on his launch. And the first time I had a wonderful catch.
Well, let's hope that your fisherman's luck continues. Well, you've got some coconuts and some fish. Could you cook them?
Yes, I could. My wife says I'm quite a good cook. I can scramble an egg and I should be able to make a fire with a flint or something.
Yes, oh, you're going to be all right. Let's get back to music. Let's get to record number seven now.
Well, number seven is Ich trage meine Minne. I keep you in my heart. By Richard Strauss, sung by Richard Tauber.
Yes. You were Richard Tauber's accompanist and coach right up to the time of his death, weren't you?
Yes, I spent 15 thrilling and happy years with him. And during that time, travelled the five continents of the world. He was a great artist, a great singer, great musician, and a great conductor. And he could have made a living at any of those callings. Mm. His father was the director of the Chemnitz Opera House, so he was brought up on music, as it were.
Yes. Well, as a souvenir of that 15 years, let's listen to you both in this recording of the song. After that record by Richard Tauber, we come to your last one, number eight. What's that?
Well, I would love to hear The Nightingale and the Rose by Mussorgsky, sung by Rosa Poncel. She was a wonderful artist, a wonderful singer, and she sang with Caruso in the last opera he ever appeared in at the Metropolitan, La Juive. But this song is simply wonderful. The tone is so beautiful and so perfect. She's such a great artist. By the way, it's my wife's favorite record. Mm-hmm.
certainly chosen some lovely records to take with you on this island, Mr. Kahn. You've still got one more choice to make. Every castaway has one luxury. What are you going to take with you?
Well, it's very difficult to say, because I should be very, very lonely there. And I think I would like to take a tape recorder.
With a big supply of batteries?
With a big supply of batteries.
And what are you going to put on it?
I want to sing some melodies, which I can record, and compose music to them when I return, if I can get safely off the island.
Yes.
And also I want to listen to the birds' beautiful voices.
Mm-hmm. So we can look forward to some more songs that you'll compose when you get back from the island.
That would be a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, Percy Kahn, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.
Not at all. I enjoyed our little talk together.
Goodbye, everyone.
The guest in today's recorded program was Percy Kahn, the interviewer Roy Plumley, and the producer Monica Chapman.